Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we journey through the book of Acts and learn that true faith leads to action. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth here in the book of Acts. And we're going to just backtrack a verse or two and bring you up to speed from last episode. So if you'll find your place in Acts chapter 9 and look at verse 13, the Bible says, Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard by many of this man and how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name." So, you know, Ananias is having a bit of reluctance about the Lord's leadership to go and be with Saul.
It is very challenging for Ananias, as you said, Pastor. And I try to think of Ananias, how he must have been. By this time, Paul is very well known throughout the Christian community for taking Christians and persecuting them. So humanly speaking, we can see why he would be a little hesitant to want to jump right on with this.
So, you know, compare this with others in the Bible that, you know, because I'm thinking about Mary, you know, and Mary, when she was told by the angel Gabriel that she would be the mother of Messiah, of the Son of God, she pushed back a little bit, but not in doubt.
Right.
Just kind of in, well, how are these things going to be? You know, how, you know? So it's not wrong, I think, to express our concern, our knee-jerk reaction to the Lord.
And I think another great example is Samuel, when God told Samuel to go anoint one of Jesse's sons. And Samuel says, "But God, if I do that, Saul's going to kill me." And even that scenario, God gave him another reason for going as well, so that he would not, so his fears would be, you know, allayed.
Yeah, that's a really good, I hadn't thought about that one. And then as you were talking, we're going to do this all episode today, friends. So as you were talking, I thought of one, and that was, you know, Ezekiel. When God told Ezekiel, "Okay, I want you to lay on your side and cook this food, and I want you to cook it over human dung." That's pretty strange. And Ezekiel said, "Lord, you know, I can't do that." He said, "All right, well, then use animal dung," which I find so sweet, you know, yes, that the Lord backed up and said, you know, he allowed him to express, you know, his frustration or his doubt about, "Well, Lord, what are you asking me to do?"
It is great to see how God, throughout the Old and New Testament, both, you know, as you said, in many examples, Pastor, where people just have open conversations with God.
That's right.
And we see the psalmist do this all the time.
That's right. And God knows that we are human beings. He knows our frailties. And that's the wonderful thing about communicating with that God, is that he understands us. Well, so Ananias in this situation says, "You know, Lord, you're asking me to go lay my hands on this man so he could receive his sight. But Lord, are we talking about the same guy?" Really is what he's asking here. And I love what the Lord does, because the Lord doesn't rebuke him. But what he does, and I think it's very similar to what you describe with Samuel, the Lord provides additional information. And he says in verse 15, "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." So before the Lord provided that clarity, the only thing Ananias knew was, here's this hateful, violent man, and I'm supposed to go heal his sight. That's all he knew.
And as you mentioned, Pastor, it is great here whenever Ananias does have a concern that God does give him further information. And God does describe how he's going to use Saul in a great way, really. We'll see that in a minute here, the great way you just read. But God does encourage the heart of Ananias. It reminds me of Christ, how Christ encouraged the heart of John the Baptist when John the Baptist had doubts about what was going on.
No, that's a good illustration. My mind was racing to, okay, what if Ananias had just obeyed the Lord and hadn't asked for additional information? Think about the great help that would have been to his faith to see, you know, I obeyed God. I didn't know what God was going to do here, but God gave him his sight, and then God made him into this incredible apostle. I mean, that would have been an amazing thing too. So either way, obedience either way was going to bring great blessing to Ananias.
And it is great that Ananias did yield, because, you know, it's easy for me now to look back at him and say, Ananias, you know, why did you have any concern whatsoever? But Saul was killing people, persecuting people for sure. But God does work as a father works with his child. God works with Ananias, encourages him, and Ananias obeys.
So let's talk just for a moment, John, about the call, because Ananias now knows more about Saul's future than Saul knows.
It is a great point. Saul here knows almost nothing. He's trusted in Christ. He's yielded to Christ, said, what will you have me to do? But he really doesn't have much more information, and God tells him, just go wait, and somebody will come to him. And so you're right. Ananias knows much more right now about the ministry of Saul.
And it's still God's pattern that oftentimes God will clarify his will to you through his word, through the mediatorship of other people. And so he's using Ananias to help to clarify his will in Paul and Saul's life, who will be Paul, obviously. But watch specifically what the Lord says. He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles. So as of yet, the gospel has not gone to the Gentiles. We're going to read about that in Acts 10. So here's Ananias, a Jew, and that must have been shocking to him.
You know, when you read that verse, Pastor, I thought, Ananias, here he is, a Jew. And when God said the Gentiles, that would have been startling to him. You know, now it shouldn't have been in some ways, because Simeon talked about it in Luke 2. Isaiah talks about it. Jesus himself talked about it. But still, this was so ingrained in their culture that the Messiah was the Jewish Messiah, that going to the Gentiles was a hard pill to swallow.
Absolutely. I mean, in essence, to a bigoted or prejudiced Jew, that would actually be a turnoff. Oh, that's what he's going to do. I'm not going to go to that house and heal him of his blindness, you know.
Yes.
But so Gentiles, then the Bible says, and kings, and then to the children of Israel. So Saul's going to have this comprehensive ministry, primarily an apostle to the Gentiles. And what's interesting to me is that God puts the order, Gentiles, kings. So we see him standing before people like, you know, Felix and Festus, and then ultimately Caesar, and then the children of Israel. But then when Paul talked about his ministry, he talked about to the Jew first and also to the Gentile.
Yes. And, you know, Saul, when he first started traveling as an apostle, he would, as you mentioned, he would go to the Jew first, go to the synagogues. But then Paul realized, you know, the Jews are not accepting this. There's a much more open message with the Gentile people. And really, an untold number of Gentiles came to Christ because of Paul's ministry.
So in verse 16, the Lord gives a kind of a purpose or an answer, is a why question in verse 16. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias, I know that none of this makes sense to you, but I'm going to use this man in a great way, and I'm going to use his life as I'm going to use a life of suffering in his case to trumpet the gospel.
You know, I think in the Old Testament how that Job is a great example of suffering. But in the New Testament, Saul really is. The Apostle Paul is a great example of suffering. And it's kind of interesting. Here he was the one who had caused Christians to suffer, and now he's going to be the apostle in the New Testament, as far as we have in great detail in Scripture, who suffers tremendously.
Right. And that was kind of the sticking point for Ananias. Lord, this guy has caused many people to suffer. And the Lord said, well, Ananias, if you'd really understand what I know about the future, then you'd know this man is going to suffer many things for my name's sake.
And I think of Paul, the great example he's going to be later on in Philippians, near the portion of Scripture. He was content in whatever state he was happy to serve Jesus Christ no matter what happened.
Oh, for sure. Look at verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, which to me is so poignant. God didn't say, go call him Brother Saul, but Ananias believed the word of God. He understands now that this man has been saved. He's been called of God. He has a future in ministry. And Ananias said, Brother Saul. Now, what words of comfort that they must have been?
Those had to be very encouraging words. Here, he accepted his family. And that's something so great about the church today even. You know, we're family. We welcome people in, people from all kinds of backgrounds. But here, Saul is accepted by Ananias. That had to be a great comfort to Saul.
Yeah, and if Ananias could accept Saul without seeing any fruit, any evidence of his repentance yet, just trusting that the Lord has said this man is somebody whom I've chosen, then how much more should we readily accept people that come to our church and become part of the family of God?
You know, I think the church is supposed to be the example of community and of love for one another, and how that in my life, I need to make sure that, you know, I'm not harboring any kind of resentment toward people or any kind of prejudice, but no matter who the person is, their background, who they are, that I accept them as a brother or sister in Christ and have compassion just as God has upon us as people.
Look at verse 17 again. So Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. So again, the book of Acts is a transitional book. So Saul, the conversion experience on the road to Damascus, and now the reception of the Holy Spirit 3 days later. What do you make of that, John?
I think it's the same thing we talked about earlier, how that God is working in this transition time to make it very obvious about the Holy Spirit now coming upon people. And yet God does use his leaders throughout, in this case, Ananias, who's not an apostle, but somebody who's been commissioned by God to go and minister to Paul. And so I think God is showing this same kind of scenario we've seen so far throughout the book up to this point.
Yeah, the reception of the Holy Spirit in these early days was a validation to Jewish believers that this was authentic. So whether it be the case of the Samaritans, or as we will see a few podcasts from now, the case of Cornelius the Gentile, or here, Saul, although he was a Jew and a staunch Jew, he would be the least likely person to receive Christ. And so again, a validation that this is indeed of God.
And what a great witness it was. Here, Saul, he's been blinded for 3 days now. He's had difficulties. And yet God is showing him, you have accepted me. You accepted me, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now you're going to go out and minister and do great things for me. And this, again, had to be just a great day in Saul's life. And we're going to see right away where Saul will begin to minister and be persecuted for serving Christ.
And I love the fact that he immediately was baptized. So think, my friends, about Saul, how rabidly he followed the Jewish traditions. And now to be baptized was in essence to say, I'm embracing a total new way of thinking, a new way of living, a new body of truth. I'm representing a whole new philosophy of life, really. So baptism was as much a shutting of the door of his past life as it was an opening of the door to his new life.
You know, I think in my life today, it's hard for me to comprehend, because I grew up in a Christian family. It's hard for me to comprehend the stark difference it would have been for Saul to have been just an up-and-comer in Judaism, and now to say that is not right. Christ has come, the Messiah is here, and I'm embraced him now 100%.
In baptism, buried with him in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. And so it's a symbol of a death to that old man and that old life. And a resurrection to God's new life in Christ, our new purposes, our future. So this is really the clear line of demarcation in Saul's life. That, and you're going to see, I think, as never before, I don't know that there's a person in church history where you see a more stark contrast of what he was to what he will be.
And, you know, Saul, this is a great example of the grace of God in our lives, how God can work in our life if we will yield to him, and God can do great things even more than we ever even think possible.
Absolutely, through the power of his Holy Spirit. That's all the time we have today, my friends, but I really appreciate you joining us, and we're going to be talking a whole lot more about this character of the Bible, Saul, who obviously later is named Paul, and just how God can use a life for his glory. But not just a life 2,000 years ago. God's Holy Spirit is the same power that can empower you today and literally change your life. So I hope that helps today, my friends. Have a great day in the Lord, and we'll talk to you next episode.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.